at the hands and give him the praise. He's always there to help. He's always there to help us. Even when we can't, when no one else was there. Even when we can't feel you, even when we cannot trust you, we still have faith in your word. The word that you are all. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and the honor because you are God. Thank you, Father, for hearing. And thank you for answering. Thank you for being always there to help. Even when we cannot feel you. Even when we cannot trace you. We have faith in your word. That you are always there to help. Be glorified and be honored. In Jesus' precious name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. We are looking at maximizing the blessing beyond tithes and giving. Part 2. Maximizing the blessing - beyond tithes and giving. Part 2. Like we said in the first service, our objective was to understand what to do to maximize the blessing of God in our lives. What do we do? Second is to understand what to do beyond our tithing and our giving. We read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 8 in the first service. It said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall command the blessing. Isaiah 61 and in verse 9. He said, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. And their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them. That they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Three things I want you to note in this service is separate from what I said in the first service. Number one, God's plan for his people is not just to survive and thrive, but to flourish and blossom. Not just to survive and thrive, but to flourish and blossom. Added to that, all right, you can make it a second point. God's plan for his people is not just to exist in the realm of just enough, but to exist in the realm of more than enough.
He said, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Psalm 23 and in verse 4, verse 5.
It is possible to exist in the realm of never enough.
It's also possible to exist in the realm of just enough. But the plan of God is for his people to exist in the realm of more than enough. Far more than enough. That is, you have far more than what only you will need. Thirdly, God's plan is for his people to exist in the realm of blessing that is visible. Blessing that is visible. That is, nobody is blind enough not to know that this man is blessed. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. Isaiah 61 and in verse 9. And all that see them shall acknowledge that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. Blessing that is visible. That was what Jabez prayed. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and in verse 10. Bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. Bring me to a realm where nobody can claim ignorance of what you have done in my life. So bring us to the realm of blessing that is visible. And number 4. God's plan is to bring his people to the realm where they need to bring out old stock of blessing to make room for the new. Where they have to bring out old stock of the blessing to make room for the new. Leviticus 26 and in verse 10. If you want, you can read it from different translations. And you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. Look at Amplified Version. You will eat the old supply. Don't tell me, Senator, are you hearing? Of abundant produce and clear out the old to make room for the new. You understand it? That, I'm telling you, because that is your realm. He said, and old stores, that is, you have to give out 200 suits because there is no space. Not that you bought them. It is arriving. To make room for new. I have seen Pastor looking somewhat. She was wondering why I'm calling her name. Because that is your realm. Don't let me go further than that. Hallelujah. Young man, I need to see you. Okay, when? See me later. Okay. Take 3 brand new suits. But they are still mantle because they have been in the company of the suits we have worn. This happens also in your supply accounts. You showed me the Bible in the basic English just now. And old stores long kept will be your food, and you will take out the old because of the new. Now, Good News Translation. He said, your harvest will be so plentiful that they will last for a year. And even then, you'll have to throw away what is left, or move away what is left of the old harvest to make room for the new. In this case, you are giving it out. You will still be eating from last.
you will still be eating from last year's harvest, when you will have to clean out the barns to make room for the new crops. That is, your last breakthrough must not end before the next one arrives. That is not the realm God has for you. That is, oh, I got a job, and then you finish it until everything went to zero. Then you just start pursuing another job, and then you got something, and then you finish it until it went down to zero. That is not the realm. It's not survivor to survivor. It's not breakthrough to breakthrough. It's not breakthrough, breakdown, breakthrough, breakdown. It is breakthrough and remain true and remain upright there. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Somebody say after me, say, my blessing will not go up and down anymore. It will remain up and remain permanently up. When a harvest go, they so plenty. So they then go rich enough for a year. And when I go, they give away. I don't like the word throw away. When I go, they give away waiting remain. From old harvest to make space for the new ones. Take your seat. Am I communicating? That is God's plan. The challenge, however, is that there are so many covenant practitioners who are not in this realm. They give tithe, they give offerings, they do what they know to do to the best of their knowledge. But they are not in the realm of this superabundant supply, of this realm of excess. But you are going there today. You are going there today. Even if you are in Manchester, you are going there today. And all of you in Amsterdam, you are going there today. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. What do you do? I'm going to go over what I said in the first service and then give you the flip side of it. Number one, possess visions and goals of excess or abundance. Visions. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7. It said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. He said, my son, attend to my words. Now move to verse 23. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Vision is the raw material for reality. Vision is the magnet of provision. The second way to say it is possess the mindset and mentality of plenty. The mindset, the mentality of plenty. The Bible said in Proverbs 21 and in verse 5, it said, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Anybody who will be wealthy, wealth fills his mind. There is an abundance mentality, and there is a scarcity mentality. One of the men who subscribes or who is under the covering of this commission, the Lord had done a lot of things in his life. In his own testimony, one day he sat on that gallery in a midweek service. And he said, Lord, show me what to do to move from the millions to the billions. And he got an idea and he moved to the billions. But he placed a benchmark. He said, he told God, Once I have up to 10 billion that is fixable and cash, and I have it fixed in an account where I can be living on, and it's turning over interest and all of that, I am okay. I have other things. I mean, just 10 billion. I can't kill myself. Let me just remain there. And then from there, I'll be moving. So he shared his vision with me. And he said his plan is that when he reaches 50, he will retire if he has up to 10 billion in his account. And I told him, I said, that vision is too small. If you need a 10 billion for yourself, there are billions that are needed for your generation to empower people, to raise people, to impact people, to build churches, to push the gospel. So if you want, you can make the 10 billion and keep for yourself, but make more billions for your generation, for the sake of humanity and for the sake of eternity. He said, as if something is killed, lifted from his eyes. He said it's a vision he was always proud of. By the time I have up to 10 billion, I'm okay. So he went back home and he said, this is what, he told his wife, this is what senior pastor just told me. I have shifted my vision from there. Do you understand how vision limits destiny? How mindset limits lifestyle? Now, everything I am telling you right now is a motivation, not an intimidation. Don't feel down. That same person was a person that was struggling at a point. Nothing to do. When the bar lifted for him, today, he said, if they say, come and do a job, then if it was a job of 1 billion, anything less than 1 billion, look for another person. I wouldn't touch that kind of a job. But today, if it is a job, anything under 10 billion or 10 billion and anything under, it's not for me. The same 10 billion that was the highest is now, if it is 10 billion or below, look for another person and give them the job. I don't do job in that realm. The same person. This is not 2 years. The same, maybe highest 2 years. The same person has income stream of at least one of the businesses brings at least $1 million a month. One. I am telling you because you are stepping there. Our people say that when they talk of color, not dog shakes his head. You know why the dog is shaking his head? What have I got to do with color? Not. If you want to talk of meat, tell me. I'll be interested. But color, not how? What do I do with it? He shake his head, shake his ears. I'm not interested. Don't shake your head with what I'm saying. Because someone may say, I'm looking for accommodation. They are talking of one. I am looking for a job. They are talking of, is it only 1 billion? What of 1 trillion? It is you I'm talking to. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must say amen. Look at your neighbor, say, what is your vision? What is in your mind? It determines where you will end. This kind of thing also forcefully enlarges your mentality. It makes your elastic, your plastic mentality to become elastic. So it is possible for people to dwell in this kind of realm. Then I react, I am stepping there. How many of you are reacting and stepping there? I don't care how much you are trusting God for. If you want to trust God for 1 naira, get the 1 naira, but get more nairas.
so that you can turn your community maybe into a, whatever it is. You can become a channel of empowerment to your generation. You can begin to do things that your heart is happy to do. You can begin to build houses for people, build churches, build, run crusades, all manner. You can be able to do all you want to do with your life and be satisfied. Somebody say a loud amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. As he thinketh in his heart, so he said. Two examples of mindset. Number one, Isaac. Genesis chapter 26. Verse 1 says there was famine in the land. And Isaac sowed, in verse 12, in that land. Why are you sowing in the land of famine? It is a matter of mentality. While people were thinking of what to eat, somebody was thinking of what to multiply. It's a mindset. Isaac sowed in the land where there was no food. Isaac sowed in the land where people were looking for what to eat. And the Lord blessed him because of that mindset. Look at verse 12. And the Lord blessed him. And he received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Keep going. And the man was great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a believer's amen. Number two, our Master Jesus. In John chapter 6 and in verse 5, the Bible said, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that this may eat? He's not saying, where can we get money? As far as he was concerned, abundance is a reality. As far as he was concerned, money is not a problem. Philip said, how many penny worth of bread is not sufficient? Jesus was talking of where to get the bread. This one was talking of where to get the money. There are different mindsets. Look at your neighbor, say from today, money must not be your problem. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody shout the loud voice, amen. So you enlarge your mentality. I am not looking for just a car to drive. I am not looking for just a house to live in. I am not looking for just money to be able to fly abroad. I want to do massive things in my generation. I want to matter, and I must have the money to get it done. Is there anybody like that? Say amen. Your mentality can neutralize the principalities of your life. Possess visions and goals of excess and abundance. Number two, be diligent. Be a hard and tireless worker. The flip side, the second side of it says, be industrious. Be brutally industrious and highly enterprising. Work until resistance bows. We said that in the first service. Isaac walked, Abraham walked, Jacob walked. Tell the principalities of your father's house, you can't stop me. Tell the local villages of your village, the local demons of your village, who says that anybody who rise, they cut them short. Tell them this one is rising and you can't cut me short. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? All those forces
that say people should not cross beyond a certain level. Tell them you have already crossed. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Say the loudest amen. Say a believer's amen.
Look at your neighbor, say, I am crossing. I am going higher.
I'm going higher, yes I am.
I'm going higher today.
I am going higher, yes I am. Going with Jesus to stay. I'm going above the shadow into the presence of God. Into the presence of Jesus. I'm going higher today. Hallelujah. I'm going higher. Yes, I am. I'm going higher today. I'm going higher.
Going with Jesus today. I'm going above the sun.
Hallelujah. Sing it for the final time. I am. Hallelujah. 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 We will Jesus to say, I'm going above the shadow. Into the presence of God. I'm going higher.
Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody shout the Lord most amen. When you see real wealthy people, it does not go with laziness. I heard the story of a man who has business in like 125 countries, 125 nations. Think of it. He has businesses in those nations. And he wakes up by 2:30 a.m., 2 a.m. every day to set the day for his various interests everywhere. Went to the country of Mozambique for crusade. And as we landed, I saw an aircraft on the ground. A G650. Gulfstream 650, the latest, that is the top of the range. And the company name of the owner was on it. And as we were landing, the same person sent us our picture. Said, Daddy, I heard you just landed to this country. Where are you staying? And he came to see us in the hotel. Alert up that country. Another country today. I have an interest over here. I have an interest over there. I have an interest over there. Alert, awake. 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Meanwhile, somebody is looking for iPhone. Is the iPhone 17? He engaged the gear of sleep by 9 o'clock. He said he wants to wake up for commanding the day. The alarm couldn't wake him. Till morning. And he wants to go somewhere. It doesn't work like that. Nothing works until somebody walks. Deuteronomy 28:8, he said, the Lord will command a blessing on the work of your hands. On the work of your hands. On the work of your hands. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. I am saying this because in a short time to come, There are kingdom people seated here today. This nation and the nations of the earth will hear your voice. If you are a believer, say louder, amen. If you are a believer, shout the loudest, amen.
Is God speaking to anybody here at all?
You combine that hard work with an enterprising industriousness.
I grew up in the house of a father who knew industry. He had luxury buses and lorries. I remember as a young man in my teenage, we worked with those buses, plying Lagos luxury buses. And one of the young men who was the son of my father's contemporary, also in those kind of business, one of the young men who was down, almost grounded, and he came. And I said, what can you do? Let me help you. What can you do? And he said, maybe I will think into what kind of business my father was doing. I want to think about it. So he thought and he came back. He said, yes, I can do it. Because in those days, those men, if it was time for grain, they bought. If it was time for this one, they bought. If it was time for this, they stored it. And then they sold. At a point, one of them was a sole dealer in tire, sole dealer in sugar, sole dealer in this or that. He saved so much money in a bank until the bank gave him a brand new vehicle to appreciate his patronage. I'm talking of almost 40-something years ago, a J5 then. Beloved, please understand that as rich as Solomon was, he was still very enterprising. I gave you two examples. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 28 to 29. 1 Kings 10, 28 to 29. He said, and Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. All right, let's look at chapter 20, verse 29. A chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means. Now, to make it clearer in understanding, look at the Living Bible version of chapter 29. Solomon, the richest man that lived, look at one of his secrets. An Egyptian child. Okay, start from verse 28. Solomon's horses were brought to him from Egypt and southern Turkey, where his agents purchased them at wholesale prices. An Egyptian chariot delivered to Jerusalem cost $400. And the horses were valued at 150 each. Many of them were then resold to the Hittite and Syrian kings. King Solomon, which money are you looking for again? You are still buying chariots and reselling for profit. That was Solomon, the richest in his days. How much will you get that you are relaxing and sitting down? You are too dignified to buy or sell, or too dignified to know what to do. That was Solomon, the wealthiest. He had an enterprising spirit, an entrepreneurial spirit. He was looking out for when it was the price was going down here, buy. When it is going up there, sell. When it is going down here, buy. Why do you teach this type of thing in church? For many reasons. Number one, it is in the Bible. Number two, most of us in church, the only thing we know is half. Bring your tithes and offering. I've paid my tithe and offering.
but nothing has changed. It cannot change with laziness. It cannot change with sitting down and doing nothing. Somebody say aloud, amen. You don't understand me, I can stop here. Are you following at all? Look at the life of Job. Job was into all manner of commodities. Look at Job chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, feared God and eschewed evil. His substance, 7,000 sheep to eat for where? 3,000 camels to eat them for where? 500 yoke of oxen, that is tractor. Yoke of oxen is tractor. Tractor, 500 farm implements, tractors. 500 sheasses. So 7,000 cars or vehicle, Uber, 3,000 trucks, 500 tractors, and 500 shares, a very great household, that is employee force. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Somebody is rising like this. If you are that one, say loud, amen. If you are that person, shout the loudest, amen. See, after me, say in the name of Jesus, I must put my hands to work. I must put my hands to work. I must be industrious. I cannot sit down and wait for breakthrough. I must do something with my hands. And I must know the right thing to do. Somebody say loud, amen. But one of the ones that excite me the most, and my time is almost up, I don't know what I'm going to do, that excite me the most is the story of the Shunammite woman. How many of you remember the Shunammite woman? Alright, you know what I'm going to do? Maybe one of these days, I will preach on the Shunammite man. The husband of the Shunammite woman. But look at this. In 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 5 to verse 6, this woman was such an enterprising, industrious woman. Somebody was telling the king of Israel about the great miracles Elisha did. And was telling him how Elisha rose the dead. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, a man was talking to the king about the exploits of Elijah. And in fact, he said he raised a dead child of a woman. While he was talking, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and her land. Background is that there had been famine for 7 years, and she was away from the land by the prophecy of Elisha. She had returned back from the land of the Philistines, and they had taken her land. Let's go. The woman cried. You went too fast. I'm not through it. Verse 5. He cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him, it is true. The boy died. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land till now. This woman had fields of plantation. This woman had houses generating income. No wonder when Elisha passed, she said, I perceive that this is a man of God. Can we build him a house? She was taking the permission from her husband, but the money was money that she made. The king did not say restore their field. He said restore her house. Restore her field. Which means the woman did not wait for the laziness of the man. She did not allow the man's laziness to choke her industriousness. This is a lesson for women. That you are a woman does not mean you should hang your destiny on a man. We had a testimony in the first service where a man was doing estate business, but the wife was the real person bringing the customers. The man was making nothing until the wife went to action. Some of you were here in that service. And also a caution to men. If you have a woman, a wife, who is industrious, whose hand is money-making hands, don't be jealous. Don't be angry. Don't be envious. Support her. Release her. Let her go make all the money she can. And if you are such a woman, don't be arrogant. Don't be stubborn. Don't be rebellious. Submit to the authority of your man. The same way that the Shunammite woman, even though she had the money, but she needed to take the permission from her husband to build a house for the prophet. See, submit yourself to the authority of the man and let everything flow together, and then there can be an explosion. But it is possible, whether you are a man or a woman, to be enterprising, to be industrious, to be entrepreneurial. A man can be a billionaire. A woman can be a multi-billionaire. In her own right. Am I communicating at all? Don't envy him or don't envy her. There are some husbands and wives almost in competition. That is a useless competition. Go and compete with outsiders, not with yourself. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. If I stop here, I've already over preached today. But you need the blessing of God. Be enterprising. Take your seat. Let me run, because our time is almost up. Number three. Possess integrity. Possess integrity. The flip side of this is function with faithfulness. Be faithful. Now, in the first service, we dealt with the integrity with finances, in how you people relate with you, and how they give you money and the money is safe in your hands. In this service, I want to look and deal with integrity in the dimension of the faithfulness with which you carry out assignments you are asked to carry out. The reliability, the dependability. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 20. The Bible said, a faithful man will abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich cannot be innocent. Let me tell you what faithfulness means. Brother, I want you to help me to, okay, it's not you, okay, I'll just use it as an example. I want to give you 150 million. I have land that I want to build twin duplex. State of the art. I'm sure you can use 75 million to build each. Just try your best. All right? And then he goes. Take your seat now. It's not you, okay? This person goes and tries to see how he can use 25 million to build each house. Am I communicating? I'm telling you real life story. Bankruptcy of integrity. Bankruptcy of faithfulness. He builds the mix of the foundation is shabby. The mix of the cement and the sand is terrible. The concrete mix is disaster.
The decking, terrible. The reinforcement used is like fish finger for a deck. It finishes the building. And he said, come and take a look. And before you know it, one heavy rain, heavy wind, and then the two houses are on the ground. And if the challenge is that this was the man who introduced him to me as a builder, what I just told you now is a real life story that is said in a way that is indirect. If this was the man that introduced him to me, I said, so is this a kind of person you are bringing to me? Did you connive with him? But one thing is sure, I will never ask him to bring me anybody except if I was sure that he was sincere. But for this one, nothing to do with him ever. And actually, if I ever heard somebody wanted to do something, I said, is this who you want to deal with? Right? If your vision is to collapse your house, go ahead. That is how people close their doors and close their destinies for lack of integrity. When this construction was going on, God told us, spare no cost. Which was what we did. Concrete mix, whatever mix. When they wanted to do the elevator at this place, the people who came to chip the place open, they thought they were hitting rocks. They said, what is this? So this is not almost not cuttable. Am I communicating at all? On the contrary, flip side, a brother was given a multi-billion contract. Again, I will not go into details. So it's a brother under this cover to make a project. By the time he began the project, where others will use 8 naira, he used 12 naira. As if he wasn't planning to profit. Until the other people, competitors in the same field, why do you want to spoil our work? You are overdoing this thing. It will make them condemn our own. He faced the work. By the time a high-level panel came to evaluate what he did so far, they said, what kind of work is this? Can Nigerians do work like this? We only thought it's expatriates or people from out that can do a work like this. Want to review this project upward. It was reviewed in billions. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. In billions. I was sent all the pictures of where the team was looking with shock. Money came by integrity. And I can go on and on and on with all of this. But just make sure you are faithful. You must be blessed, fool. Daniel chapter 6. You look at Daniel chapter 6 from verse 1. And he said, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Keep going. And then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion, no fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. He was faithful, faithful, faithful. First Kings chapter 12 and in verse 15.
2 Kings 12:15. Moreover, they reckon not with them, with the men, whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. If you will deal faithfully, you will be handed money. They bestowed money to them because they dealt faithfully. Let me give you another story. One of the men here has a big project, and he said, can you give me some people who can do building material supply? And I recommended a person, and he got other people. By the time everybody began to supply, he said, you know what? I will give the supply to only one person, the one we brought. He said, because I compared his supply and his operation with the other people. He said, with this one, I can go to sleep. I can go to sleep. Supply of 100 million, supply of 50 million, supply of 200 million. I can go to sleep. Something is happening to somebody. If you catch anybody sleeping at this time, tell him, are you faithful? Because you cannot be sleeping when we are talking about financial faithfulness. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father. I receive the grace for faithfulness. I receive that grace now in the name of Jesus. Point number four. Don't spend everything. Maintain a reserve. Our scripture was Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 8. He said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord giveth thee. I mentioned two things in the first service why we must maintain a reserve, and I will mention two things. This is what it means, that no matter what happens, what enters your hand must not be all spent, no matter how little it is. What enters your hands, for two reasons. Number one, it is a faith action that says more is coming. It's a faith action. Let the weak say, I'm strong. It's a faith action that says there will always be something to put aside. Today, I am putting aside 1 naira. But tomorrow, I will put aside 1 billion. You start from where you are. You don't wait for it to be big first. You start now. Putting aside. I can't spend everything. I'm putting this aside. This may be put aside for investment later, but it has to be put aside first. Joel chapter 3 and in verse 10, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Number 2, it is a strategic plan for future victory. Strategic plan for future victory against scarcity. Genesis chapter 41, verse 34 to 36. We saw how Israel got victory. Now Egypt got victory against scarcity because Joseph put food aside in the 7 years of plenty. Don't spend everything. Let me read this passage to you and then we'll go to the final. When the Shunammite, the prophet's widow had an emergency in 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2 to 3. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2 to 3. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid has not anything in the house
except a pot of oil. Except a pot of oil. What the Shunammite woman had in her house was what saved her children from being sold as slaves. It rescued her from emergency. Let me tell you something. What I am teaching you about this reserve and put something aside, it started with us from the scratch of this ministry. The first land we bought, Area 1 land, the half of it was what we bought first before they sold us the second half. That first half that we bought, we raised no money in church. A church of 2 or 3 years. What was in the reserve bought the whole land. When we came to this place, when we saw this land, reserve had been going on. All I wanted to do is to just imagine the cost of this land. What we put what we pulled massive came out of reserve. Hey. Am I communicating at all? If I catch you sleeping, I'll stop now. Praise the Lord. When you start putting it aside, it may not mean anything. But you are telling God, I am ready for what you want to send to me to put aside. You are telling God, I am wise enough not to waste everything. You are telling God, I am ready for what you are bringing. And then it will begin to flow. It will begin to flow. It will begin to flow. When you are a waster, you won't get anything. I'll talk more about that next week. I prophesy upon everyone here today. From this moment forward, what you will be able to put aside is coming your way. Amen. Say that amen like a believer. Amen. Say that amen like a believer. Amen. Say that amen like a believer. Amen. Say the loudest believers, amen. How many of you believe your mind is shifting? Your mind is shifting. I have given a few testimonies of one or two people today. But I want to prophesy to somebody. In another 3 to 6 months from now, we shall be sharing your testimonies. That amen can be better. We shall be talking about what God is doing in your life. In the realm of supplies, in the realm of resources. And your impact in your generation. Shout the loudest, amen. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Finally, be investment minded. What you put aside can be put into investment. I want to say 2 things to you. In the first service, I said the purpose of money is not expenditure. It is investment. And I said the least you can do is to put, the least the master expects you to do is to bank the money with interest. We read Luke chapter 19, verse 12. Now, in this service, I want to advocate 2 things for you. Number one, your investment is more important than your enjoyment. Hola, hola. Our investment for the future is more important than our enjoyment for the moment. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work without Make it fit for yourself in the field. Grow your business first. After that, you can think of luxury house. Did you see that? Give me other translations. There are people who think of enjoyment first. Prepare your work outside and get it ready for yourself in the field. Afterward, you can build your house and establish a home. Put your work in order outside and make it ready in the field. And after that, see to the building of your house. Don't build your house, talk about a home until your fields are ready and you are sure that you can earn a living. This is the best. Develop your business first. Before building, develop your business first. Before going to Nkwobi joint, Ishiewu joint, develop your business first. Before thinking of latest model car, before thinking of what grade of phone, develop your business first. All these things are in the Bible. We only take some part out of it. And we are wondering why we are stranded. Develop your business first. I can't stop telling stories that are inspiring stories. I know of people who own plane that is doing commercial. And they are flying commercial. The plane is bringing money. He prefers for it to bring money than for him to just use it. Am I communicating at all? I went to dedicate the house of somebody, an estate actually, big estate. And I asked him, so where are you living? He was living in a rented 3-bedroom in Karu. So I said, why? He said he's paying only 120,000 a year that time. That was better for him than going to Metama or Wuse to build a house there. He said he will get his own house later. But he has channeled the money into this. Wisdom day. What if you partly use the car you are driving now for both yourself and for Uber? What if when you go to the office, the driver takes it out and returns back in the evening with it for you to go back home with it? Gives you 50,000 a month or a week or how much it gives you until you save enough until you are able to buy another car. And buy another one. Then all the other cars are Ubers and then this is the one you are driving. That was what Solomon did. The passage I read just now, Solomon was not buying luxury chariots. He had chariots that were his own. But he bought chariots for sale. Can you place that scripture again? I believe that was first Kings chapter 10, I think verse 28, 29. He bought chariots for sale. It was not chariots for luxury. And Solomon had horses bought out of Egypt and a linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And this was resold. Is that right? Was that verse 29? At a price. It was resold. You can give us that translation that told us about being resold. Egyptian chariot delivered to Jerusalem cost 400 and the horses were valued at 150 each. Many of these were then resold to the Hittites. So he was not just going, let me just buy a car now so that I can feel big. I have arrived. He was still reselling to get more. He used it to build a temple. You are going places.
Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen.
So when money enters the hand, the first thing to think is not what can I buy. It's where can I invest. The first thing is not what can I buy.
You want to buy a suit, but an investment can make you a suit manufacturer. An investment can make you a car dealer instead of just buying a car with the money. Somebody say a loud amen.
And when you think you have made enough money, say, you know, Lord, okay, I've made for myself. This one now is going to be for church planting. It's going to be for evangelism. It's going to be for widows. It's going to be for orphans. It's going to be for children who don't have a means of going to school. I'm making the balance of this money to impact humanity and eternity. Someone say amen. Amen. You cannot fail. Oh. You can't. Oh. Except you just disappear from here. For as long as you hang around here, you cannot be down.
And there are people right now, God is giving you an opportunity to rise, an opportunity to affect your generation, an opportunity for increase. If you are that one, stand on your feet and shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudmost, amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. All right, let me say this finally, and then we'll say, please take your seat. I said your investment. What did I say just now? The last point. Your investment for the future is more than your enjoyment of the moment. Point number two for this service. It is not wisdom to pay and enrich every other person at the expense of your own increase. Say that again. It is not wisdom to pay and enrich every other person at the expense of your own increase. While you pay people, ensure that you are being paid from one direction or the other. That is a principle that is called pay yourself first. It's an investment principle. What is the wisdom of that? Look at 1 Kings 10, 28 to 29. We already said that. But this is what I mean. It is not wisdom to pay everybody else at the expense of your own increase. While you are paying people, ensure that you are being paid. This is what I mean. When, as I'm standing now, I'm holding the microphone, that somebody was paid because he sold it. The person who is marketing it paid the person who manufactured it. I slept on a bed that somebody was paid to make. Tap that somebody manufactured and was paid for. Soap, cream, everything. Somebody paid for it. You dress up and wore things, suit, shoe, watch, everything that people were paid for. So you paid everybody for all of these things. Who paid you? What is it that they are paying you for? Is there a product or a service? Okay, you made 100,000. You paid everybody 99,000. What did you pay yourself? Hello? Huh? What do you pay yourself?
He said, I bought a shirt. You paid somebody for the shirt. And the shirt is not everlasting.
Supposing you say, okay, I've given God his own. Before I pay anybody out of this 100,000, let me pay myself 20% from this money. So you set the 20,000 apart from other things. Before I buy recharge card, before I buy, I set this money. This is for myself. So what will you do it as it is for yourself? I will make it bring me more money. There is a connection between wisdom and wealth. Anybody who is rich is not rich by accident. And anybody who is poor is not poor by accident. Stand up on your feet. Is this a Harvard Business School or what? Master class. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just don't forget. Let something that will impact yourself come out of your income, so that you don't end up distributing to everybody, to phone cell dealer, to generator fuel seller, to bill of this and that, to shoemaker, to shirt seller, to toothbrush maker. You say, oh, I'm in need, so I have to buy all these things. You are paying people. You pay yourself and make others pay you. That is, you must do work, hand work, whether it is something you are selling or a service you are offering, that as your money is going to others, others' money is coming to you. You must insist on it. Don't steal, don't cheat, don't kill, don't defraud, but do something genuinely that is making money reach you. And when God sees that such platform, and some people are saying, I am waiting. I have seen some people chasing money that does not exist. Say there is a $20 billion somewhere. There's a particular fund somewhere. There's a $10 million fund somewhere. All they have been chasing it for 10 years. Don't waste your life. Just start from anywhere. Start from where you are now. Say, I've been in court over some $10 million that some people sent to us and they refused to give us. We have been in court. While that process, if there is actually any process, look for something. When Isaac jamrock, he moved to another direction. When he dug the well and he jamrock, he moved here. He jam another rock, he moved here. He jam another rock, he moved here. Until he came to Rehoboth. Even Elijah, did he dry when the brook dried? When the brook cherry dried, God said, move from here. You don't dry with a drying brook. You change address. You change location. You change approach. Change approach. If it is not working now, it may work later. Align with something that can work now. Before the big money comes, try and see what can bring money daily. What can bring money daily? What can bring money weekly? What can bring money monthly? Before the big one comes. Is there somebody that God has spoken to today? A regular streaming is just coming. And at the end of the day, your vision is fulfilled. Kingdom vision is fulfilled. The vision of people around you are fulfilled. Listen, this does not sound like the preaching of somebody looking for money from you. If I was, I'd just say, bring your tithe, bring your offering. After that, go and lift your hand and let God bless you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That is why the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of the kingdom.
They are employing and applying all manner of strategies and very, very aggressive. Somebody say, I'm spiritual. I've already prayed. I've fasted. Nobody gives his daughter to anybody to marry on the account of speaking in tongues. They say, where is the bride price? You say, my father-in-law, Jacoco Cabalaratis, Ketina Magarota Apapalagaradisoko, Kikeke Paparatas. Ungwanu Papa, what is ego label? The amount of that tongue. This should be more than $3 million worth of tongues. Please subtract how much amount you need and give me the balance. You need balance from it's heavy tongue, not kindergarten. No, nobody does that. Or you go to a car shop and they say, how much is this car? You say, bring 50 million. You say, all right, bring your hand. Car copa sudis. Car dealer, bring your hand. La kiko kobara pass. You know what? The car dealer will ask his boys to watch you while he goes in two directions. First of all, the psychiatrist, and number two, the police. He say, evaluate this man, let me know what is it criminality or insanity? Or both? Because he may have criminal tendencies that made him run mad. So he's a mad criminal. Praise the Lord. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. God is not a mystical God. He's a practical God. He's a principled God. Are they showing? That message is you want to show now. Do you want somebody to speak in tongues on top of it? I heard that. One of the men who went to Bible school many years ago under Archbishop Benson Idahosa, he could not read and write. So when they set exam, he spoke in tongues. They say, what this question? They say, Kaku barata tisa, lekum braga didisa. They say, what are you talking about? Say, are you not the examiner? Interpret and mark. Somebody is blessed today, say amen. But let me release one prophetic word upon you. On the things you have heard today, your financial material explosion, no devil shall stop it. Your vision and impact in the kingdom, no devil shall stop it. You shall arise, you shall shine, because your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We have three conclusions and it's going to be the same in this service. Please place on the screen quickly. Number one, be faithful. In the covenant practice of giving and tithing, that's the foundation. Be faithful. Be a giver, be a fighter. That is basic. Be faithful and maintain that faithfulness. Number two, after you have done that, go beyond tithing and giving to make it easy for God to bless you. He said, I'll command a blessing on all that you set your hand to do. Make it easy for God to bless you. And then, number three, do the right thing you know to do with all you have got until results explode. The things you've been taught now. Go through the first service message. Go through this message over and over. And run with it. That young man in the first service whose wife was helping him. He said when he came and he had financial matters, I gave him a book and a tape. This is the kind of content. Go and read this book. Go and listen to this tape and this CD. And as he did, things began to change. He's now exploded in his building estates. That is it. Listen. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Employ what you listen to, and you shall return with results. You know, the love of money is the root of evil. And the lack of money can be a challenge of destiny.
You love money, it is evil. You lack money, it's a challenge.
Very serious challenge. Am I communicating? You have booked your flight. At the airport, they hold up, couldn't allow you to go. The flight has left. You need to catch an important meeting in Paris. You can buy another ticket within the next 24 hours. Kosiowo. Ego Kwano. Ijebe. Ijebe. Mije gang. Inakudi. Bakudi. Kudi yaka rise, in fact. Do you understand? He misses an opportunity that challenges his assignment for scarcity of money. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Lift your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Give him the supremacy. Give him the dominion. Give him the rule. Give him the sovereignty. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. Liko paranana sada gayala harakasada. We give you the praise. Would you lift up your hands? We are going to pray the prayers of that first service. Say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I am grateful. I am appreciative. Thank you for teaching and instructing me. Be glorified, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. Jesus, let's take all those points and say, Father, I receive the grace to walk in vision with gold of excess and abundance. I will not only survive, I will try. Help me to be diligent, to be hardworking, to be industrious, to be enterprising. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, to possess integrity, financial integrity, to be trustworthy, to do works of integrity. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, not to spend everything. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, to be investment minded, not to be expenditure minded. I receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, lift your voice and speak to God.
Lift me up, lift me. Lift me up.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. This study is to be continued. By next Sunday, the second portion of it will be coming. We have 10 points. And between now and then, may God cause your life to change.
Amen.
And give you a testimony. Amen. Right now, everywhere you are, everywhere you are, I will soon give a call. But for all of us, when we preach, when we talk anything about money, only for the sake of materialistic purposes, it becomes materialism. When we talk about money, for the sake of impacting the kingdom, God first mentality, and being a blessing to a generation, it is called a blessing. And it's the blessing I'm talking about. And that blessing comes from seeking God first and His righteousness. And it comes from living for Him and doing His work. Take your seat 1 minute.